And we're joined on the scoop today by Colton Molesky. We aren't talking NBA today. We're talking college football because it's hard to believe, but the season starts next week. Some games already that will be coming up here this weekend, I believe. So college football is back, and Colton is here to give us a breakdown of what we should expect to see this season. Colton, welcome back to the scoop.
Always a pleasure to join you, and I'm excited to talk about college football. This is kind of if the NBA is my main chick, this is kind of my side baby.
Well put. Yeah, many listeners familiar with you talking Timberwolves and NBA as well, but we'll take a look at college football here in general on the show today. We should probably start off with the big news out of Ohio State, and this Urban Meyer situation continues to have ripple effects. The punishment handed down, Meyer will serve a 3-game suspension the first 3 games of the year without pay. I know the angles about how this was handled and Urban Meyer's legacy have been hit pretty hard here over the last couple of days. So I wanted us, Colton, to focus mostly on how does this impact Ohio State this season. I mean, you look at the 3 games to start off their year, probably going to end up winning those 3 games, but what sort of impact does this situation have on them as the season progresses?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't sleep. Obviously, the first two, I believe it's Oregon State, I think it is, and Rutgers. Those are wins for Ohio State, just built on the roster they have alone. But that third game, the last game of his suspension, TCU going into the season ranked 16. I wouldn't sleep on them just because Gary Patterson he's had some defenses that have been injured, but he's always been really good at recruiting defensive players, especially guys in the secondary. And last year when he had a healthy defense and had defense that kind of stayed together for an entire season, I think you saw the result of that, and the result was that he was able to put together one of the more vicious defensive units in the Big 12 and in the country. And so I wouldn't sleep on TCU there, especially when that's a road game. But just as far as the impact throughout the season, it'll be really interesting because obviously it's not supposed to play a role, but because humans pick which teams are going into the playoff and because humans can have biases and can make errors, it'll be interesting to see if Penn State and Ohio State are right there and it's a very tight call as to who should be one of the 4 teams selected to the playoff. If this has an effect, I'm not sure what the answer is there, but there's no way you can tell me it going down the stretch if Penn State and Ohio State are right there with each other and only one team from the Big Ten is going to get a slot in the playoff. You can't tell me that if you're an Ohio State fan, you're not going to be worried that this has some role. Don't you think this will play a little bit of a role if it's a tight race?
Yeah, I think so. It'll be something that hangs over the head of this Ohio State team for the entire season, despite whether or not they want it to, because this has been something that has taken the entire attention of the national media. And the other thing too is you don't know if there is maybe more to be discovered here throughout the season. And obviously, if there is any more to this story or if any other stories come out of Ohio State, then that's going to have a much bigger effect. And at that point, then you could be looking at a coaching change mid-season, and that would then have a negative impact on this team. So I think this is going to be something that it may not have an effect on the product on the field per se, but it is going to have a huge impact on the psyche of this team. And if they slip up at all, I think some of the people who vote on the teams that make the playoffs, I think they will be looking at some of those other teams to try to maybe fit them in as opposed to the Buckeyes.
Yeah, it will be really interesting to see how this plays out. You mentioned legacy just as far as what you remember from Urban Meyer 10 years from now. Do you think this sticks? Because I'm always think of the Florida teams. And do you think that this sticks with him if it has an effect on, if you think it might have an effect on the voting for the college playoff this year? Because if it doesn't, it might slip away faster, I think. That's my personal opinion. If it doesn't seem to have an effect on how people vote for this team in the college football playoff, I think that this probably slips a little faster than if it does. And maybe that's just a harsh reality of sports, but I think that that's maybe the way this is looked at 10 years from now.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if this Ohio State team comes out and has a really good year, they leave really no doubt that they should be a playoff team, then this kind of gets pushed to the side and likely forgotten. But if they do end up being, you know, a handful of teams that go that get into that 10 or 11 win range and they end up getting squeezed out, then I think this becomes a much bigger story and one that people will associate with this team for years to come. It just, it all depends on how they rally to it, and if they're able to overcome it, then it gets swept away a little bit. But if not, then then we've got ourselves a very big story heading into the off season.
Also, I see the things on Twitter. Just a side note about the suspension. I see the things on Twitter about Todd Gurley. He signed some jerseys or got $3,000, I think it was, and got this 3-game suspension, right? And Urban Meyer has his cover up, gets a 4-game suspension. Well, Johnny Manziel got money for signing cards and things like that, and he got a 0.5-game suspension, which I didn't even know was possible. Can we just agree that the NCAA has no idea what it's doing when it's handing out punishment or investigating anyone in general, no matter what the infraction is, and that it should never be handled by the NCAA as the organization that they are? Can we just make that agreement? Because you can bring up all these cases, but they're still going to have faults in the way that they're handling any one of these, no matter what the infraction is. They're just bad at this.
Yeah, I would agree. The thing to kind of wrap up this this Ohio State situation, the thing that I think is the most interesting is just the wording of how this went down. Is that while Urban Meyer didn't lie, he was not truthful about what he knew and what he reported. It's like, how can those be two different things? It's like,
not truthful is just lying. That's
yeah,
the definition.
It's like, if he knew about it and he was dishonest in what he reported, that's a lie. That's just what the definition of a lie is. And yet the administration was very, very pronounced in saying that he did not deliberately lie. It's like, come on. I don't know if this is where they have to have, you know, an independent firm come in and complete these investigations that doesn't have the interests of the university in mind or the interests of the NCAA in mind. If you bring in a neutral party that just simply says, here's what happened, here's what we found, go from there. Maybe that's a route to go, but I don't know. It is not very encouraging to see how a lot of these scandals have been handled as we go.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right,
Colton. Let's look at kind of the landscape of the college football season. Last year in the playoff, Alabama got the win over Georgia, 26-23. For yet another national championship. Looking at the teams that made the playoff last year, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Clemson, are we pretty confident that we'll see at least some combination of those teams in the playoff again this year?
I think Clemson will be interesting. They've got an interesting quarterback battle going on. It's been going on all summer. I think Brian eventually comes away with that one, but I'm not sure it'll be really interesting to see what their offense looks like since they've been really battling out between two quarterbacks. Maybe they're not quite as polished offensively, but he's always put together defensive classes that have been really great and always, over the last few years, been able to send players to the NFL on the defensive side. So I think that end of the ball will be really well established still. It will be interesting to see if they're able to come out of the ACC. However, I think Miami might be a team you have to watch out for. Just another year for that coaching staff to really get their recruits in and really get their system in place. Another year of work for them to have more of their groundwork laid. And so that'll be an interesting team. Louisville, I think, might be a sleeper that people are starting to realize as you have them come back into the college playoff spectrum. And Alabama, I think, will be back for sure, is the one that I'm 100% on. I really like Georgia, but then their five-star running back gets injured. They just cannot keep a running back healthy at Georgia for a sustained period of time. It's really unfortunate because I was looking forward to seeing their offense go full steam ahead. I think they'll still be really good, but I don't think they're 100% lock. I think right now the only 100% lock I have is the perennial lock in the playoffs, and Alabama is the team I have there. I really like Tua. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's going to make this offense kind of reminiscent of what it was under A.J. McCarron. And I think that he has a terrific arm, and he has that perfect combination where he's looking – it's a lot like Deshaun Watson, where he can run downfield, but he's looking to extend the play, not to turn the play into a run. And so when you see him still – he's not rushing his reads. He's still progressing through all of his reads. He's still looking for a throw. He can throw deep really accurately. And so when I'm looking at him as the quarterback, he's somebody who can really command an offense, not just try and run with an offense.
Colton, we'll jump around to some of the power conferences. Let's start off in the Big Ten. Of course, we were talking about the Ohio State situation and how that will impact them. But looking at the other teams that will be vying for supremacy in the Big Ten, who are some of the teams that you think have a decent chance to at least run with the Buckeyes and potentially win the Big Ten when we get further down the season?
I really like Penn State a lot. I know that Wisconsin is a team you always have to look out for with their ability to win games and bring games to the trenches and win them there. And Jonathan Taylor is a fantastic running back. But I really like Penn State a lot. I think that they've had the last few years they've been able to bring back and continue to have a pass rush that puts opposing quarterbacks in tough positions. And I really like Trace McSorley, their quarterback, a lot. I think that he kind of was under the shadow of Saquon Barkley, and Barkley is a fantastic running back, but I'm not sure that McSorley got quite enough credit for what he was doing with Penn State the last couple of years, and now you're going to be able to see him shine a lot more now that he is kind of the sole star on that offensive side of the ball. He's proven that he can pass for over 3,000 yards this season, and he's winning just as many of those games in the crunch time as Barkley was for this team over the last couple of seasons. My mind goes back to when they're in the bowl game versus Washington, some of the throws he's making in those drives in the fourth quarter, the game against Iowa when he drives down the field in the last 80 seconds and throws the walk-off touchdown in the back of the end zone over defenders. The passes that this guy has already made in his college career kind of gives you confidence when you have teams like an Ohio State, like a Wisconsin, that are able to bring in such powerful and imposing defenses. To have a guy like McSorley on your team for Penn State, that should give you confidence, because I think right now he's probably the best quarterback in the Big Ten.
Colton, let's shift over to the Pac-12, because a couple of teams that you cover for SB Nation are in the Pac-12, that being Stanford and also USC. For the listeners, you can find Colton at Rule of Tree, the SB Nation site covering Stanford, and also Conquest Chronicles covering USC. Let's look at the Pac-10, Pac-12, I should say. How do you see things playing out?
This will be a really interesting year in the Pac-12. There's a lot of teams to like. If you don't watch the Pac-12 too much and you just want to kind of glom onto one team to help follow the conference, there's a lot of teams to like. Arizona State with Khalil Tate is going to be really fun. They have a really fun kind of backyard style offense that is going to be really entertaining. USC is going to be good. JT Daniels, and following his story, the quarterback came out of high school early, like a lot like Marvin Bagley for the NBA, who plays for Sacramento now, went to Duke early, got out of high school early, got the exemption. JT Daniels following the same route, and he looks to be the quarterback who's going to take over for that team, and he could be really good. I hear a lot of reports that he could be maybe as good or better than Daniels, and the best thing, or not Daniels, excuse me, that he could be better than Darnold. And one of the best recruits since they were sanctioned after all the Reggie Bush stuff that happened at USC. So he'll be someone to watch. As for Stanford, they have Bryce Love coming back, a Heisman-level running back, and now they have an offense that's kind of been built around KJ Costello, and they have an offense that can be more than just running now. They have one of the same – I don't know if you've read about the same Brown brothers, but you had one for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish who now plays for the Packers. You have one of the brothers playing for USC, and you have one of the brothers who didn't play last year playing for the Stanford Cardinal. Really fast guys, really great receivers. And so those brothers will be players to watch in the Pac-12. And then you always have the Chip Kelly hype over at UCLA. And what he's going to do with that team, how that team is going to look with Chip Kelly at the helm. He is such a fantastic coach and such a great college coach and such a great recruiter. It's hard not to think that UCLA is going to bounce back under his tutelage. It's going to be a fun conference this year. And I think I know that for people in Minnesota, it's very late to watch these games for the Pac-12. But I think they're worth staying up for just because of all the stuff that's going to be happening in the Pac-12.
Colton, you got time for another segment?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. We're going to take a quick break here, but Colton will join us to talk more about the college football landscape here this season. We'll take a look at some of the other Power 5 conferences when we come back after this. And we're back here with Colton Molesky talking about the college football season that is getting started here in earnest next week. As mentioned before, you can follow Colton's work this college football season at Rule of Tree for SB Nation and also Conquest Chronicles of SB Nation. Colton, continuing to talk about the Power 5 conferences, and we mentioned it a little bit in talking about what we expect to see from teams that made the playoff this past season. Let's just look a little bit at the SEC. And, of course, you've got the likes of Alabama at the top, Georgia as well. Other than those two teams, anybody that can keep up in this conference with the top two spots?
Well, just because I think Alabama's a lock for the playoff, it doesn't mean that the SEC won't be not only competitive but also compelling and interesting. You've got Jimbo Fisher coaching for Texas A&M. I think that's going to make that a really interesting and fun team, and it's just going to be interesting to see how he does year one with Texas A&M. Auburn was a really good team and had a really solid defense last year. It'll be fun to see them come back, see if they can try and get themselves in the mix. And LSU always is interesting. They have such a solid area of recruiting being based in Louisiana. And you know that they're always going to field at least a few NFL-caliber players. And so it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of reestablish themselves in the SEC. They have been out of the top contention for the last couple of years. But you know around the corner at some point, LSU is due for a top-level defense in that conference, as well as reestablishing themselves in the backfield as far as backs, as far as offensive line. So I think that LSU is somebody you always have to look out for as well. I think that it'll be a really fun year in the SEC because there's going to be a few teams that are set up to maybe try and push Alabama towards their first loss of the season, and it's just a matter of which one of these SEC teams will be actually able to do it on their slate of games. So I think that's going to make it fun, and I think it's going to be fun, interesting to see who's actually able to stand there and be the one competing for the SEC championship against Alabama at the end of the season.
We'll move on to the ACC. Clemson, the top dog in the ACC, but some teams that could make some noise against the Tigers. They've got plenty of other teams with intriguing off seasons. Florida State, a team that could potentially make some noise here after Jimbo Fisher moved on. How do you see things playing out in the ACC? Anybody that can contend with Clemson?
I like Miami a lot. I know that maybe this one is more of just a want than maybe purely based on all good logic and reason. Like I said before, I like the coaching staff they have in place, that they can probably build on the recruits that they're bringing in. And obviously every year that a coaching staff has with college teams, because of the turnover, if you're able to get more of your own recruits in, more of your system in with those young guys, it's just better for you. But I also like how they've kind of re-embraced that Miami style that you had so many years ago. I know that people are getting tired of the turnover chain last year. I like it. I think that that's kind of part of the Miami brand, and that's part of what makes the Hurricane football brand so compelling and so fun to watch. And why so many people hate them and why so many people love them as well. And so I like the little things about a program that make them unique. And I think that Miami is set up so that they have kind of the coaches, they have the system in place, really solid secondary last year to attack something that Clemson is going to bring on offense. But they also have a swagger about them and a confidence that I think is well set up to go up against a team that maybe has a better overall roster talent like a Clemson.
Colton, let's take a look at the Big 12 as well. You've got the likes of Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma, plenty of other schools as well in the Big 12. Oklahoma made the playoffs, so they are certainly dangerous as a top team in the conference. Who else could be a couple of teams to give them a fight in the Big 12?
I know Oklahoma, the hype around their quarterback, who the Oakland Athletics are letting come back to college football and play this season. I know there's a lot of hype around him, but I still like TCU a lot. Call me foolish, but when Gary Patterson has the full complement of his defense and all his guys on the field, he's had some years where he's just been stricken with the injury bug, and his teams have just been ravaged by a bunch of starters falling to injury, especially on the defensive side. And you can blame that on certain things and maybe practice time allowed to guys, preparation time. But sometimes that's just the luck of the draw, and it is a violent sport. Sometimes your team just gets a little unlucky and you get a few more injuries than a team should be due in one season. But last year, you saw his healthy defense, what it could do. I think that they come back, and this team is really good, and their defense really takes a lot of people by surprise again this year, even though it shouldn't. And a healthy defense for TCU, I think, means that they could be one of the top teams in this conference. And again, this is somebody who I thought TCU in the first round of the playoffs when it started, I thought TCU should have been in the playoff when they just missed it because the Big 12 didn't have a championship game. So maybe it's a little bit of a, now this is a makeup for a team I called being in the playoff first year and I felt getting robbed a little bit, but I like TCU a lot this year.
Okay. Just looking at some of the top athletes in this year's college football season, who are some names that you will be keeping an eye on? Of course, we've already had mock drafts getting started. There's never a dull moment in NFL draft season, so the likes of Todd McShay and Mel Kiper already getting their draft boards ready. Who are some of the top players that you're going to be keeping an eye on here throughout the season?
Well, I'm always writing articles on Heisman watch lists, who I'm watching for the Heisman. And just as far as players to watch, JT Daniels of USC, it's a fascinating story, somebody leaving high school early, and now he's been around USC for a really extended period of time around their system, around scrimmages and practices, before he was even participating in them for an extended period of time. It's going to be interesting to see how he performs and if that kind of narrative from this preseason kind of pushes him into extra spotlight this year. Guys like Khalil Tate, who I mentioned earlier, a guy who's putting a lot of passes, putting a lot of yards through the air, but also on the ground. It'll be interesting to see how his Heisman run goes, if he can actually make a push for the Heisman. Obviously, guys like Bryce Love are going to be up there already just by default, because you know that he can put in the work and he's going to get a lot of carries, enough to get him in that Heisman conversation. But as far as guys who I'm watching and guys who I think are in the forefront of the Heisman talk, I think Tua for Alabama, a team that is always either contending for a championship or winning a championship. If you're a quarterback of that team and you're in that SEC spotlight, you're on a lot of prime time games, and none of your games are super late like a lot of teams have trouble with in the Pac-12. You're getting a lot of those prime time spots. I think that it's, if you're a running back or a quarterback in the SEC, especially for Alabama, it's really set up well for you to try and make a Heisman push. And I think that the way they make the offense about Tua more than about running backs this year for Alabama makes him kind of the number one guy you should be looking at as far as the Heisman Trophy.
Colton, let's talk a little bit about some of the opening matchups of the season. And, of course, we've got some games coming up tomorrow, but nothing really of note. The first big wave of games will take place on Thursday the 30th. The Gophers will play New Mexico State. Then we go to the weekend. Saturday, September 1st, is when a lot of the big games will get underway. Any games that that intrigue you? I know USC plays UNLV on September 1st, but any other games that you see on that slate that are going to be compelling enough for you to keep an eye on?
Well, first of all, just because we're Minnesota-based and because we probably should talk about them a little bit in this show, that first game, New Mexico versus for the Gophers, could a lot of hopes be dashed or a lot of heart sunk in that first game for the Minnesota Gopher faithful if they don't come out firing on all cylinders versus a non-Power 5 conference team? Because there's a lot of expectations around PJ Fleck here.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how those are handled by this Gopher team, starting a true freshman at quarterback. And it'll be fascinating to see how the Gophers do this year. They're saying amongst the team, amongst the players, that they're going to shock some people this year. How do you see them stacking up amongst the rest of the Big Ten?
I actually think everybody's kind of looking at the quarterback, maybe running back. I actually think a lot of how this team plays is in the offensive line. They had some offensive line injuries. I'm in the Gophers, another team there. You can talk about the injury bug all year long last year for them. Really unfortunate, the injuries they had. If they can keep guys in the secondary healthy, their secondary was really good last year. And if they can keep their offensive line healthy, they actually had a pretty solid offensive line when they were healthy. But guys were going down, they were having to make a lot of shifts. A lot of young guys had to step up and perform and grow quickly on the fly last year on that offensive line. So if they can stay healthy, you've got some experience there now. If they can stay healthy and stay a deep unit, I think that'll be more pivotal than anything else, because I think that their system is so that they can get guys yards on the ground if their offensive line is healthy and they have good enough receivers. Where if their receivers are healthy, then, and the offensive line is healthy, then the quarterback has some pretty easy throws, some pretty easy reads to make, and he won't have to work too hard. And then on the defensive side, great linebackers, really great secondary if they're all there. And I think that it's set up, and I keep having to say if they're healthy, that's how many injuries were on this team. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I was covering this team last year every single week for zonecoverage.com last year. I was covering them every single week, and it seemed like every week they were having an injury that really affected that starting lineup. I mean, you go for every position. You had Antoine Winfield Jr. going out after the first couple of weeks. He's one of the best corners the Big Ten, just because you can put him literally anywhere in the secondary, and he's going to make one. The nickel, outside corner, safety, he's going to make plays for you. You go a few more weeks, and you have their slot receiver, Douglas, who's supposed to be one of the better slot receivers in the Big Ten because of both his speed and because of how he can attack linebackers, how you can throw him in the backfield. He gets injured just all over the place. You've got a guard that goes out. You've got a tackle that goes out later in the season. You've got linebackers that get injured, linebackers who are playing in cash. I mean, all over the place, this team was ravaged by injury. I just want P.J. Fleck to have a roster that's healthy this season.
Yeah.
And I really think it's interesting to see what his system can do with healthy players, because they got the guys there. I think they've got some really interesting talent. Now they just need to have it out there on the field.
Colton, as we wrap up for today, of course, I'm going to let you mention once again the outlets where listeners can follow your work, and also tell us a little bit more about a new venture that you are a part of with Zone Coverage, the Minnesota Line.
Yeah, and I wanted to get back to your original question, too, real quick, just for games you should be watching. Auburn-Washington, the 6-9 matchup, and the Michigan-Notre Dame game, going to be great games. Also, Louisville playing Alabama. If Louisville can come out right away, and I don't think they're going to beat Alabama, but at least stay kind of in that game, I think they'll be put on a lot of people's radar. As far as what I'm doing, I definitely, like Seth said, go check out the SB Nation pages, go check out the Pac-12 sites. Even if you don't like Pac-12 football, I'll be writing about a bunch of different stuff on those sites about Heisman Watch articles, who you should be watching, just in general. And every week I have a College Five where I'm telling you the best five games of the weekend and why they're the five games that you should be watching and where to find them. So go check out those columns. Also, a much better reporter and sports reporter than I, Mike Gelfand, has been kind enough to ask me to join him and co-host a show that the Zone Coverage Network gave him, part of the Zone Coverage Podcast Network. It's the Minnesota Line, where every week we're telling you how we're gambling, what we're looking at to gamble, and then we're giving you our three bets that we're going to make that weekend. And you can either bet with us and maybe win some money, or you can laugh at us as we lose our money. But go check that out. Mike is, he's been doing this for a very long time. He's a far better reporter than I am. So if nothing else, go check it out for Mike Gelfand's content. But I will also be co-hosting that show and giving you my bets every single week.
Outstanding, Colton. Thanks for joining the Scoop today to break down the upcoming college football season. We'll check in with you throughout the year as well, and we'll hope that the Gophers can put together a nice season, but more importantly, we'll just hope for a lot of really, really good games throughout the year.
There will be games to find, and I will always be betting on them.